Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
All right, we roll on. Mark Lieberman's with us, the coach at Collegiate here on this Monday. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
I want to take a look, and there must be a place to find this more simply. You just talk a lot about, I'm not sure the fans, there's so many metrics, measures, and sites that do it that you're getting lost in all the noise. But Ken Pomeroy was one of the first guys to do this. It goes all the way back almost 20 years ago now, I believe, to list what he called the four factors, which are the effective field goal percentage. What's the difference between that and regular field goal percentage? That gives 50% more credit for made three-pointers, which would make sense because it's worth 50% more. There's a guy using common sense. Turnover percentage is a measure of ball security. Offensive rebounding percentage, the measure of the possible rebounds that are gathered by the offense. And then the last thing is free throw rate, team's ability to get to the free throw line, which is number of free throws attempted over number of field goals attempted. And you put all those together and you get, and I first heard about it from Rick. He was the one who talked about it when there was that stretch where I think every team that won the national championship for how many years it was, I don't know, were all in the top 15 in the country in all of those categories. So the question is, which teams are in the top of those categories now? If you go to Ken's website, I don't think he has it listed that way, does he? You'd have to do the work yourself, I think. Am I right or am I wrong? I don't know that.
Since I'm out of college basketball, I don't need to study analytics every day like I used to. So
was that part of your assignment or just something you did for?
Sometimes I would make up numbers and just to get our guys convinced of certain things. So I'd almost be over analytical with things. I would say, he's running down the left side of the floor 31 times out of the game, and you got to be aware of that. And so, kids believe it because you give them numbers, and they'll buy what you're selling if you're convincing. I'm very convincing.
Yeah. Oh, you're a very convincing guy. I know that. So anyway, my guess is, I can't say that he has a separate overall rating that he gives his teams, which factor in the offense and the defense. And so if you go by that, his Pomeroy's rankings as of right now, he has Houston at number one, Tennessee at number two, UCLA at three, Purdue at four, Alabama at five. Connecticut is still very high. That was one I wanted to bring up because they started so well, then they seemingly got very kind of pedestrian. And they're at number six. St. Mary's is at number seven. Marquette at number eight. Texas at number 9, Arizona at number 10. Could that be right, or am I reading this wrong? No, that's exactly
Sounds
what his
right.
rankings are. Wow. That's interesting to me, because some of the teams that you and I both said, well, they can make a deep run are nowhere to be found on this list. Houston is there, Tennessee, Purdue's at 4, UCLA at 3, and Connecticut at 6 and St. Mary's at 7 are the ones that make your eyeballs pop out of your head.
They're always efficient. St. Mary's, they guard really well. They're efficient. They probably be in the top of those categories. Also, they're going to, besides the Gonzagas of that league or Santa Clara, they're not going to have as much, it's not as deep a league.
Yeah. Well, I just for the sake of this segment, I thought we would just simplify it, okay? We'll just take the adjusted offense and adjusted defense and see how many teams we can find that are in both of those categories in the top 15. So here's your list if you want to start filling out an early bracket. Houston is sixth in offense, eighth in defense. Very good. Tennessee, while they're second overall, is first in defense, but 60th in offense. I don't think that's going to fly in the postseason. You're going to have one day where you got to get your offense has to win you a game at least in there. UCLA, much the same boat, third in defense, 23rd in offense. Purdue, first in offense, 21st in defense. So just outside to be in the top 20 in both. But I'm bringing this up for a point that how few teams there are that would meet the condition of having both your teams in the top 20. Forget about top 15, top 20. Connecticut, 9th in offense, 20th in defense. So they would be in there. So how about that? But you go by 20. So they would be in there. Alabama would be in there. 5th in defense, 20th in offense. So we've got three teams now. Houston is the only one in top 10 in both. I'm going all the way down, and I can find...
Well, it's kind of what we talked about, right? There's no clear-cut team that you're going to say, okay, this team is going to make the Final Four. We know it. You can pencil it in or however you want to put it, because right now there's a lot of balance. And some of these metrics, you're looking at how many... And it's obviously not on that list, but who's got pros? And that's that's a part of it as well.
Yeah, because they can, you know, somebody's going to have to make a play
exactly
late in the
right.
game, and you need players. But I'm fascinated by the fact that I used to do like top 15. Now, those are the only teams in the country that have both of their offense, adjusted offense and adjusted defense in the top 20. That's incredible to me. Purdue just misses it. First in offense, 21st in defense. Alabama makes it, and Connecticut makes it, and Houston. So, you know, that could be your Final Four. It's not out of the realm of possibilities. But
Connecticut has really kind of taken a
bit of a nosedive.
No question. They started off the season really well, and Kamani Young, who's on the staff, I work with him at FIU, and he's a tremendous coach and recruiter, and I like their team. I watched them early in the year, and I thought they had all the pieces as well, and but this is what happens, and as long as they're playing their best basketball a couple weeks from now, things can change, and that's how it goes from day to day, week to week. It just changes every single time in this sport, and that's the fun part.
No, it is. It is fun, and to me, the NFL of all of the major sports probably has the most unpredictable postseason. Now, the Stanley Cup does because the nature of the sport of a lucky goal bounces off a skate or something.
Nick just perked up.
Yeah, well, he woke up. He got him back. He was playing Forecastle or whatever that game is.
Forecastle. It's a music festival.
I know. I'd love to do that.
Fortnite.
Hey, whatever.
It was hilarious.
You got the gist of it.
We understood what you were saying.
I was listening, but I took a quick deviation of 30 seconds to watch these two Jack Russell Terriers jump up and grab apples out of a tree.
Okay.
I'm retweeting. Sorry. As you were.
All right. That's very interesting. You'll get a series decided. You have a better chance of seeing a 8 seed win a playoff series in hockey than any other sport. But ultimately, the cream rises to the top, and there's two or three teams you'll look at have a best chance of winning the cup, and they win it. Basketball, the NBA, actually angers me. It's like they want to have the playoff series to make the money, but they have to guarantee themselves that the premier players. My guess is they'll change the rule in the middle of a playoff one year. We change it this year. It's 5 of 9 now, so just so they give that team a chance. But college basketball in the NFL, you can win the Super Bowl being a wild card. We see that all the time. Basketball, you get the Loyolas and the George Masons, and I mean it goes all the way back. I remember remember this because the guy was a high school coach on Long Island. If this name rings a bell to you, I'll be flabbergasted. It's before your time, and he was not kind of a national name. His name was Bob Weinauer. He was a high school coach at the school right. We scrimmaged them when I was in high school. They played in the town right next to ours. He went to Penn as the assistant, and then I don't know why the job opened up. Somebody left. I don't remember who left, and they made him the head coach. And they went to the Final Four.
That's
the beauty of it.
But
it was so. But so in college basketball, that does that, and that's why it's entertaining. And so we'll see. It's and plus, anytime you got a one and done deal. He's always ripe for an upset. So we'll see how it plays. But right now, we can't even figure out who the hell's going to be making deep runs. I mean, that was my last question because I know you got to go. I was going to ask this during the commercial break. I was thinking about it. We spent a lot of time breaking down, doing numbers, doing Pomeroy, doing this, doing that. But going by just your gut, if you look at a team that is not very highly ranked now, in other words, they're not a top 10 or maybe even a top 15, I'll grant you, from 12 down, they're not in the top 12. Who do you think is a great chance at a dark horse? You already alluded to Xavier. I don't know where they rank, by the way, right now. They're top 20, but I don't know where they are. I don't think they're in the top 12, are they? Let's go take a look where they
are.
Take
a peek.
Yeah, let's give you some help here rather than just throw you out there on an island. Here we go. Here's the NCAA men's basketball, and here's their rankings. And Xavier, as some people say, just outside the top 12. They're 13. So, you know, you mentioned that, but who else is then that you could put lightning in a bottle and make a deep run? Is Indiana on that list? Is Kentucky on that list? I mean, who? Connecticut's 21st in the country, but very high in Pomeroy. So are they one of those teams? Who would you consider?
Indiana, for sure. When you have a player like Davis, you know, that guy can just score at will. And if you have a guy that can just take over a game, and like you said, it's just one game, and it's winner take all. That can happen. I like Creighton a lot from what I saw early in the season.
Yeah,
and they're starting.
We saw them in Hawaii. I thought they were really good.
I really like them. I've really studied them and watched them a lot, and I like their team. Just like I talked about Xavier, maybe I have an affinity for the Big East, but those are two teams I think have a chance because they have some pros, they can score, and they have guards that really can get, like we just talked about, a basket when you need it, when the play breaks down. You need guys that can make something happen because in the tournament, teams are prepared for that first game and the second round and so on. But you need guys that can just break a play and make a play. And I think Creighton has that. I think Xavier has that.
I'm intrigued. I'm not suggesting they're one of the teams, but you got to feel happy for Kevin Keats. NC State, which is kind of every year.
Yeah.
Well, this year's their year. This year's their year. Well, this year's their year. 19-5.
Mm-hmm.
And they're right, firmly in the top 25 right now. And, you know, he's done a really good job
there.
I don't know. We'll see how deep a run they could make. But
well, you mentioned about high school coaches, Nate Oates and Kevin. Obviously, I work with Kevin, so really excited for him. I have one of my former players is actually on that team that I coached at the Heritage School when I was in Georgia, Ebenezer Duwana. So, you know, it's I'm always rooting for Kevin. And this year the expectations, they're all over the place for him to be – have those type of wins, it's great for him. I'm really excited for him.
All right, last parting shot. We'll steal a page from, I can't say it's my brother's book, but he used to do it. They used to do it on the college basketball studio show when he was there. They would just, the end, start, calling
Nick
out names.
Nick is back to playing Forecastle, by the way, just so you know.
Oh, yeah, good for him. Yeah. And then he's going to have a quick round
Sorry
of
to interrupt
louder
you there, Bob.
Than, that's okay. He's going to have a quick round of Louder Than Life coming up, I think, after that. But they used to do call a name, and the other analysts would say stock up or stock down. So let's throw a few out there. I think some of them are kind of easy. And I'm not happy about some of them because I like the coaches. But TCU, stock up or stock down?
Stock up.
Really?
Yeah. Coach Dixon does a great job. I like that team. I think
I liked them too. But man, they've struggled.
They've
lost four of their last five.
Well, if we're saying overall, past week, like we talked about, yeah, so that's obviously with losing, their stock is down, but by next week they can have two big wins in the Big 12, and all of a sudden it just changes. That's like everybody was, the world was, collapsing with Kentucky, and then they start turning things around and get a few wins, and things change. So if TC gets a couple big wins, it's right back at it because
well,
I really like their team early on.
That's what stock up and stock down is supposed to be.
Like, so I really don't understand this game then, apparently.
Yeah, okay. That's why I didn't explain the rules. Well,
I'll make you happy. Stock down. Let's.
I wasn't trying. I get it. You're still looking at how the team's made up. I think this next one's an easy one, isn't it? Shaka Smart and Marquette. That's got to be stock up, right?
Absolutely. But we can change this to like stock up at the end of the season, what we think it's going to be.
Oh, all right. Well, that's,
how about
you're doing the old buy and hold theory of if I'm making money. I'm suggesting I'm day trading.
Right.
Here.
That's what you're
I'm
doing.
Suggesting.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. How about our friend Mick Cronin? Where are they?
Stock up, but nobody knows with the Pac-12, right?
Really?
I think so. They just they're good, and I think they're going to be right at it. I couldn't tell you what their last three or four games was. I watched them about a week ago. Win a game, and I'm not sure what their record is in the last week, but I would still
say. Yeah, they got it back on the rails. They took a quick stumble,
I think,
at the end of January. They lost to, who did they lose? They lost to USC by 13. That's what that was, and that followed following a 6-point loss to Arizona, but they bounced back here in February, and they have beaten Washington by 9, and then Washington mm-hmm. State by 24.
Conference play.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, give everybody a quick reminder about the Classic coming up, and I'll let you go on your merry way, and
appreciate
we'll go forward. What's going on in the Maxwell, right?
That yep, Maxwell Lieberman Classic. It's the fifth time I've been able to do it. All proceeds go to the March of Dimes. We'll be having 3 games at Louisville Collegiate on this Friday, February 10th. And if you can't make the games and you'd just like to donate to the cause, you can go to, I believe, my Twitter page and all my social media pages. And Nick is scurrying to find something. I'm sure I can send something to him. And
yes, please do. By the way, you're at 1,000, I believe.
Oh, well,
yes,
I'm like 1,042
now. I was going to say, look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Because you and your dad really got
fantastic.
It going.
Fantastic.
Yes.
1041, baby. Yeah. Coach at Coach Lieberman. Give him a follow.
Always a pleasure, Bob. Thank you.
All right, man. Thanks. We appreciate it. We're going to take a break, and then we'll take you to the top of the hour. And I thought Nick was going to do a conference call, but then he got caught playing Pictures over there, and so
yeah, I got playing Forecastle and Louder Than Life and Call of Doobies and everything like that.
Yeah, that game features music of Michael McDonald and the Doobie Brothers.
He can really sing.
Yeah. All right, a little bit of embarrassment there. I was
what happened?
I was changing, and because I got a late start today. I mean, Sunday's is a wonderful day for me.
So you were naked while you were chatting with?
No, let's not overdo it. We weren't on the air, but Brian, we were doing a commercial break, and I was getting changed, and so sitting there in my skivvies, basically, and Brian came in to walk the dogs. you know, if I'm a good-looking girl, that's definitely a column in Penthouse or somewhere, but, you know, as it wasn't the case, it's just your dog walker coming in, catching you in an awkward, hey, B, how you doing? How about that Super Bowl, huh? You know, just, wow. So, yeah. Now you're stuck with that visual for the rest of the day.
So all Brian right. Hall saw you naked. Nice.
Not quite naked, thank God. We were just down to the skivvies. Where are you going to go with this? I'm dying to find out.
Without it sounding weird, I mean, dudes see each other naked a lot.
I know, it is like, interesting. It's all out of context, right? I mean, you go to the gym, you don't. There's some guys a little bit too comfortable with their nakedness.
No. They're out there flapping around. Yeah, like, you don't need necessarily to be completely like crazy. Like, I don't really give a spit, but like, you know, it's. I at least try to have a modicum of decency and only show what, you know, really needs to be done. I don't know. It depends. It depends on the team and the locker room atmosphere and everything like that. But by and large, yeah, you don't need to be just flaunting it, if you will. But I did make a point of mentioning that, like, I forgot we were like on a trip or something, or and one of the girls, it was all the hockey guys. We all play hockey together. And one of the girls was like, oh, you're going to, you know, change right there in front of every, like, you know, in front of all the guys. And we were like, yeah, we've probably seen each other after you ladies, each other naked the most out of anybody. Like, you know, it's one of those things. Have you ever actually thought about who you've seen naked the most in your life?
No, I have not. I'm going to try and block that thought out of my mind that you just shared with me here. I don't just.
Well, I'm not saying, like, you know, you're saving all the images, but if you think about it, we said it jokingly, and then all, like, the three of us, like me, Patty O'Sullivan, and Moon Mullins, all kind of looked at each other and were like, yo, we've seen each other naked a lot. Just because we played hockey 15 sure. years together. Like, it's not like funny. We go out of our way to do it, but, you know, at least once a week, I've seen those guys.
This is like therapy here, I'm diving in. Diving in, I tell you. I still remember, again, every school district has their own state, city, how they break down their grades. Most places now, I think, you go K through 5 in an elementary school, then 6 through 8 is a middle school, and then 9 through 12 is your high school. Well, on Long Island, we didn't do it that way. You went K through 6 to an elementary school, 7 through 9 to a junior high school, and then 10 through 12 was a high school. So we got to the first day of practice. This was, why I remember some of these things, I don't know. But in our school, for some reason, if you were a 7th grader, you weren't allowed to play football. Don't know why. I guess that they thought there was too much of a physical difference between 9th graders and 7th graders, I'm guessing, which may be true. I mean, somebody probably found a study. But, you know, and we had a 7th and 8th grade basketball team, but we didn't have the equivalent of like a JV for the middle, for the junior high, and then a 9th grade team would have been like the varsity for, you know, the middle school. But the junior high school, I get my terms right. But football, there was no 7th and 8th grade team, so you couldn't play. So, and I went to high school, going through school, thinking I was going to play everything. That's what I wanted to do when I first started. So the first sport you could play was basketball. And I'll never forget... I'm not kidding. It was a big, dramatic thing that most of us wouldn't talk about. But it was the 600-pound gorilla in the room was, after practice, having to go shower. Because the girls, for whatever reason, you would occasionally have to go into the girls' locker room for, you know, if you had a multi-sport event or something, that they would use the girls' locker room for one day. And I was always struck with the fact that the girls had individual shower stalls, you know, with curtains. And the guys had
lovely.
That... Yeah, the guys had that gigantic shower room. You know, there's just all the showers.
Yeah, did you have the ones on on the wall, or did you have the thing in the middle?
No, I hated the thing in the middle.
Like the thing in the middle. Oh yeah, it's just like, and then it sprays out to the sides. Like that one.
Not. It was the merry-go-round of showers. Not a big fan. We had them on the wall.
It was okay if you were in there alone, because then you could have like kind of three nozzles pointed at you. That could be kind of cool. But yeah, like weren't. I felt like you didn't have enough room to spread out.
So we had, it's a valid point. But so we had basically the trauma of all day knowing first practice was coming up and we were all going to have to shower in the same room. And I'll never forget this. My best friend, Ben, Paisan, Ben Sheraldi Adon, very successful lawyer now, by the way. He was, we were buddies. And so I don't know why, but he had to walk past my locker to get to where the showers were. And he was wearing his underwear. I was like, Ben, dude, I don't care the trauma that this is causing us. You are going to be slayed, diced, and filleted and put on the grill if you walk to the shower with your underwear. I mean, it's just, I was observant enough to know that isn't how it's working here. So you either get three choices, two of which are not very pleasant. One is you're not going to shower and be disgusting, which is the worst option of the three. Two is you're going to wear these underwear to the shower, and you may never stop being teased about it. People may call you at your work when you're grown up and reminding you of the time you wore it. He wasn't going to wear it in the shower, but he was going to wear it to the shower. And then, the big moment of truth, take them off there. Or you're going to have to bite the bullet and just grit your teeth and drop those drawers right now and head to the shower. And, and that was the moment of truth. And I still remember that moment. That look of terror on his face.
This was like, oh, here we go. It's so weird because, like, the second you, as a kid, like, if I could go back in time, I would have told myself, like, no one showered in our gym class, girls.
No, well,
so
you didn't have a chance. You had no chance. Give you like 3 minutes to get out of, change and then get to your next class.
You covered yourself with Axe body spray. And I'm a sweaty lad. And so, and I was in shape then too, but I still sweat a ton. And your boy went hard in the paint when you're playing dodgeball. Like, I only had one speed. And so I was drenched in sweat after every game. And,
make him go back to class.
And then you go to class. Yeah, gym was the first period. First period gym class.
God.
So then you stunk.
Stinky room.
You stunk the rest of high school. You sprayed a ton of Axe body spray. But it was, that mixture of BO and Axe, which is just like the worst like car scent ever.
Yeah.
And then also, hormones, your face breaks out. Like, I would just go back in time, listen, you're going to catch a little flack from the boys. Who gives a spit? Like, get in there, shower, clean yourself off. And I'm telling you, like, if you actually can, nut up and talk to somebody, it'll help. Like, if I had a time machine, I would tell myself, You started showering way too late.
You're right. I started showering in gym class. I remember that because the same reason. At that point, I was like, I don't give a damn. Now you had to, I was a late bloomer, so you discovered girls.
Oh, my God.
I was not
going
to go walking down the hall stinking like a...
Back in time, been like, look, here's the thing. Everyone in this grade likes you, so talk to one of them. And also, shower, because maybe the 3% that don't like you will like you if you don't smell like, butt crack. But everybody was too scared to shower. It's like a switch flips. Like, sophomore year, everyone showered. Like, you know, anytime, like, we, like, you know, would take road trips or anything like that, no one, it wasn't a big deal. But in hockey, I remember, we took a hockey sleep, like, overnight camp at Miami of Ohio, and all the boys, eighth grade freshmen, you know, everywhere in that age group, 12 to 14, nobody would shower naked. And all the older, like, camp guys were, like, junior.
Nobody would shower naked. What'd you wear, like,
No, everyone would wear underwear or shorts. And, like, I think part of it was because there was a cheerleading camp right across the dorm, and everyone was, like, a little nervous. But, like, all the junior kids were like, you guys are weird. And we were like, nah, man. And one kid showered naked, and his name was Cheese. I remember that. And everyone was like, yo, man, Cheese is naked a lot, man. I don't know if we can trust that kid, man. And, like, then looking back, like, literally the next year, all of us, like, went to another camp, and we were like, man, why the hell were we so weird about showering? This is so much better. Like, you feel cleaner. Like, you're way more comfortable with yourself. It was just like,
I can't start the day without a shower. Even if, for whatever reason, like, I was, I don't know, playing something and got sweaty the night before, so I showered before bed, I still have to shower the next morning when I wake up. Have to.
I've gone to a shower every other day. I used to be a 1 to 2 shower a guy. Like,
a day guy,
yeah. Now, I will say that if I'm like doing any form of working out, I sweat so much, or if a hockey helmet touches my head, I feel like I got to shower, otherwise I'm gross. Like, but yeah, like, it, just like daily, like, yeah, I go once every other day. It's supposed to be good for your hair, actually.
Well, there's a great quotation: life must be lived forward, but can only be understood backward. So there you go. As you look back on all those decisions you made, go, why did I do that? Well, there you go. No options here. You must be lived forward.
I was about to put up a Bet Rivers Twitter poll. Listeners, when was the first time you saw another man naked? The freshman year, sophomore year? Yeah, no.
To remind you about something a lot more pleasant than unshowered adolescence, and that, of course, is what's going on at our friends at Genesis Diamonds for Valentine's Day. What a deal. Spend $99 on any piece of jewelry, and you get fabulous additions. I mean, the jewelry itself would be a great gift, but so would dinner at Brasserie Provence. That would be a great gift by itself. Or some flowers from Nansen Craft, or some chocolates. Any one of those alone would be a fabulous gift. But you put them all together, and that's what Genesis gives you. Buy any piece of jewelry for just $99 or more, and you'll get all of those other things added on to make a fantastic Valentine's Day package. So you get the piece of jewelry, dinner at Brasserie Provence, the fabulous flowers from Nansen Craft, and you also get chocolates, which is the traditional Valentine's gift, sweeties for your sweetie, all of that for a Valentine's Day that'll make you a hero, because you are getting the best of the best at a price that is not going to break your budget. So check them out. Go see our friends at Genesis Diamonds, Shelbyville Road Plaza, next to Trader Joe's. See the store for details, and make it a Valentine's Day for your special someone that they will never forget. All from our friends at Genesis Diamonds. There you go. What are we doing here? We're taking it right to the top. We're marching down Broadway.
Yeah, might as well just go right to the top. But there's a couple sound bites I wanted to get to. Jay Williams was, I think, calling the game, the UofL-FSU game this weekend. And was pretty excited.
Jay Williams was in town?
Yeah, I think so. I think he was on doing the color for it, I believe. I was working at the restaurant, so I didn't see. But he got a little bit of flack for lecturing the fans, and he mentioned that. But he also sounded like he was rooting for Louisville.
I got yelled at by the people on social media about, here we go with another analyst giving us a lecture on being patient with Kenny Payne. I guess I've just known Kenny Payne for a while. I know his network. I know how tied in this guy is to the elite of the elite players. I know people on his staff.
So he was catching flack for being pro Kenny Payne, and also, what was that?
It was my tweet.
Oh! Justin Furman behind us says that he was the one that pissed off Jay Williams. So there we go. Look at that. But yeah, so Jay Williams might have been getting body bagged by Stephen A. today about Kyrie, but was very, very complimentary of Kenny Payne, and it almost seemed like he was rooting for Louisville, it seemed like, in his call of the game this weekend, that he was really pro-Louisville. Also, Leonard Hamilton had some positive words about Kenny Payne. It sounded something like this.
I have absolutely no doubt in my mind whatsoever that Kenny Payne is the right person for the job, and I don't think there's any doubt that he will succeed. I think you can ask anybody in America that knows Kenny that they would say the same thing. Yeah, he's developed great relationships with people all over the world, all over the country. People want him to be successful, and you're going to see what I'm saying as you just watch it. I think in situations, the whole landscape of college basketball has changed. And kids have more opportunities. I mean, I'm down five kids who I thought was going to be on my team next year, this year. You know, three made decisions that they were going to move on with their careers and do something else, and I respect that. Then I have two ACLs. I mean, so Kenny inherited what he inherited. And so now he has to come in and get it done.
What? That's how I always remember Leonard. What?
I wish we could have got a sound
too.
Out of that.
He's good. He's good people. Yeah, it's a different landscape, folks. And it is for the cliche that many people hate, that I don't particularly like, but it's so appropriate here. It is what it is right now, which in every level. There have been people that have already decided he was the wrong hire, and the more they dig their heels in, the less you can have on both sides, frankly, you can have an intelligent conversation. Because at that point, when somebody's that dug in, they're not interested in really discussing it. They're just interested in trying to cherry pick any fact they could find that amplifies their position. And you know, like most things in sports, if you're really determined to try and support a viewpoint, you can find it. I mean, it's just the nature of the beast. There's going to be some fact, data, stat. I mean, you know, you like Mike Woodson. Mike Woodson was, you know, went from the NBA and came to college and came to play his alma mater, and you know, wasn't exactly rolling there. There were some people who objected to the hire, and it's turned it into a really solid program. There are other people that say, yeah, but he had been a head coach, even if it was in the NBA, he'd been a head coach. You know, Kenny's never been a head coach, so pick, you know, whatever. But the fact of the matter is, I have my own opinion, as you know. Many of you have taken issue with my thoughts about it, although it's not as much opinion as people getting mad at me for not having their viewpoint. That they want to turn on the radio and hear the guy saying exactly what they feel. And I all I've suggested is, it's if I'm teaching a class, it's too early. It's an incomplete grade. And, you know, and you got to go from there. It takes time, and some people don't want to hear that. They say, I've seen enough. He's the wrong guy. He's a terrible guy. And so that's what comes out. It comes out of it. But, you know, as I said, it makes it so at this point, I'm trying to find things that are, for lack of a better word, on that safe ground, because I don't want to throw more fuel on the fire, which accomplishes nothing. It doesn't accomplish anything at all, other than, I guess, some people who want him to be fired say, if I yell and bitch and scream enough, then the powers that be will listen and something will happen. I don't know. I can't get inside their heads because I don't feel that way. But, you know, we're trying to find out, in my opinion, most people, no matter where you weigh in on this, would agree you got to figure out who can play for you next year. That's the big story for the rest of the year. Want to see if they, you know, if they're getting better in ways that I think are important. They are, but that's what's left on the line, because there's not a lot of games that they are going to be considered as having a whole hell of a lot of chance to win going forward. I mean, I understand for a Louisville fan, it's kind of hard when you look at ESPN.com and you see, like, for example, the Miami game. They give Miami a 97% chance to win that game. Not used to that around here, that's for sure. We'll be in Pittsburgh, leaving today. We'll talk to you tomorrow from Pittsburgh. Thanks for listening to us. Sweeney's next, ESPN 680.
Metro College is a program that helps students pay for tuition,
and I didn't believe it.
You have to work third shift 5 days a week. It's a great and rewarding thing when you graduate. I would do it all over again, just like I just did.
You know those buddies who magically become medical professionals when you're not at the top of your game? The ones who say,
come on, muscle through it.
But then also say,
hey, you should probably see my specialist.
Or surgery or pain meds. It's almost always false, false, and false. Athletico's physical therapists, the same therapists who work with professional athletes, can tackle those little aches and pains from the start, before they become big ones. So next time, don't believe everything you hear. Instead, start with Athletico. Schedule your free assessment at athletico.com.